blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 236, stanzas 1 and 2. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless thy works abide, for thou art God. 1 and 2 of 236.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from the book of Malachi, chapter 1. We will first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee, but we know so little of who that thou art. Thou sayest to know thee, and Jesus Christ, thy Son, is eternal life. Oh, we cannot come before thee in a right way, except that we know thee. Oh, we need to be instructed then from on high, that we may even draw nigh unto thee in uprightness and in truth. O Lord, thou wilt have thy name to be exalted among the heathen. O thou didst have a controversy with thy own people, thine own elect, to whom thou hast shown so many mercies, and they have given unto thee the blind and the lame for sacrifice. O thou didst say, give it to thy governor, and will he be pleased with thee? O Lord, we cannot rightly know to honor thy great name, except thou givest us an impression in a saving way in our own souls. Oh, we need to be born again, and we need to be converted by thee unto thee, that we might worship thee in truth and in uprightness. O Lord, thou hast sent unto us in these days also such a serious calling, wherein thou callest unto one of our members. O Lord, thou knowest that which has come unto him as such a serious word, as such a serious message, as set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. O, we beseech thee, Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, and that thou mightest look upon him in the affliction that thou hast placed upon him. O, all our days are but as a shadow, but his days have now been numbered. O, we beseech thee, his maker and his creator, that thou mayest also be his redeemer. O, that thou wouldest look in the first place upon his poor soul. O, give him, Lord, meditations of thee. Who can make that straight that thou dost make crooked? O, dost thou not say, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider? For God hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. O Lord, there is nothing after us. There is nothing to be found in this world. There is nothing to be gained here below, except that one thing that is needful. O, we beseech it of thee, thou who art able to grant it unto him. O, give him thoughts of thee, his maker and his creator. O, that he may be given to meditate upon thee. O, then everything shall follow, if thou wilt give those saving impressions in his soul. O, then he cannot but see thy great holiness and his own sinfulness. O, then he shall be brought to know his iniquity, and then he shall be brought to bow himself before thee. O, then he shall be able to say by thy Spirit, O, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good unto him. O, the Lord is righteous, I am wicked. Oh, could it be that thou may reveal to him, Lord, thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that he might hear another voice, another message. Oh, that thou hast sent into the world thy only begotten Son, and that he may suffer and that he may die for the chiefest of sinners. O Lord, that this our friend and brother may through this way begin to live, and that thou may give to him that life that never dies. Then he has more than everyone. Oh, then he has what he needs to live, and then he has what he needs to die. And we all need that same thing, because that message can come unto him. But Lord, that we know not what one day may bring forth. Oh, how many of us could be on that list even before him. Oh, we know not our life. Oh, give us, Lord, so to hear thy calling, that thou may send it into our hearts, both young and old, because we with it only go our own way again. Oh, we cannot bring it into our own soul. We cannot affect ourselves with it. But thou art able to do it, Lord. Thou art able to bring us all at the right place before thee, under all these callings, and to bring us in our inner chamber for his sake, and but also for our own sakes. Remember his wife. O Lord, uphold her in all of this way. Strengthen her. Grant her also thy Holy Spirit, and that she may be given to bow under the heavy way that thou dost lead her in. And all the children, also the young one at home, O Lord, be near unto him in thy mercy. Care for them, Lord. And all those that are afflicted, all those that are in distress, those that are in the hospital, that receive care from doctors, and those callings also come to each one. And Lord, that thou may bless and sanctify the means that are used for the recovery of the sick. And if it could please thee to give a little more time, but if it is not in thy way in good pleasure, oh, then there is not a better place for man here in this world than to bow himself fully prostrate before the living God of heaven and of earth. Oh, to come in such a blessed agreement with the will of God, and oh, to say, here I am. Let him do what seemeth good in his sight. O Lord, look upon each and every one of us. We are traveling our short journey. One day that message will come to us, or we will be cut off in one moment. Then we go the way of all the earth. Then we go over that threshold from time into eternity. And where the tree falleth, there it will lie. Oh, there it will never come back again. Then all opportunity will be cut off. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee. Thou sayest that we are given a time of grace. Oh, bind that matter upon the heart of each and every one of us. And thou didst take a lot and his daughters by the hand, when they did linger, when they were told to flee. O Lord, then they loitered in the place where they were, looking upon everything they had to leave behind. Oh, give us understanding hearts. Oh, that we might turn away from all these things in this day of grace, that we might learn to flee for our life's sake. Bless thy word to that end in this day. Care thou for all those who are at war. Lord, thou knowest also the beloved for the Father's sakes. Oh, care for them. Watch over them in all of this way. And that thou would care for all those who are in danger's way. Oh, give man to know the true and the living God, that he might turn from all his idols to worship thee, and give then those who labor among that people also thy blessing, that thy name also the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into this world, who was rejected by thy own people when thou didst come unto thy own, and thy own received thee not. O Lord, wilt thou bring them in? O that the casting away may be now redeemed, and that they may be brought in once again, and O that the receiving of them may be for the glory and for the majesty of thy great and glorious name. Remember all that are at war. Remember all those that make decisions wherein others are affected. Lord, remember our own nation and people. Turn us away from our sin and bring us to the knowledge and to the service of the true and living God and his holy commandments. Oh, could it be that also we as a people may turn from our own sin, for we know better. Oh, we are brought up from the days of our youth to be able to recite thy holy law. Oh, we can say it. We can say it with our lips and with our mouth. We know it with our mind. We hear it read to us Sabbath after Sabbath day. But Lord, we take no heed, except that thou wilt sanctify thy word. Give us a little liberty. Grant us a little freedom. Give thy word free course. Forgive, take away all of our sin, and bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 283, stanzas 1 through 5. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. 1 through 5 of Psalter 283. beloved congregation, who has made our tongue. James says that our tongue is just a little member of our body, but that tongue boasteth great things. Just like a bit, he says, that you put in the mouth of a horse, you can turn around that whole body of that horse. Or just like the helm of a ship, we would say that little steering wheel, boys and girls. And with that little steering wheel, that great ship can be turned about. That is now what the Lord says about the tongue. That is now just a little member, but it is a member that can do great things. He says a little fire can kindle, can kindle a great matter. That is a little spark, a little fire can create an inferno that is sufficient to burn down Rome. That is now all in the power of the tongue. And who has made man's tongue? Well, God did make man's tongue. And because God has made our tongue, man has certain obligations, certain duties, just like with all the other members of his body, his feet and his hands and so on. And then he has certain duties and obligations that he must fulfill, he says, with his tongue, because the tongue has very great influence within the world, within the church, and that tongue is able, as it were, to affect and to turn about those very great bodies. Can do that for good, can do that for bad. We think about Demetrius and how that with just a few words, he has gotten together a great multitude of people who have cried out for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And then with one word of the town clerk, and that great multitude was appeased and it was dismissed. How we use our tongue. That is directed by the Lord in the third commandment of his holy law, which reads, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain," which we like to consider out of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 36 in this afternoon, God's law, the third commandment concerning God's name. First, the use and the abuse of God's name. In question and answer 99, what is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. That is the use and the abuse of God's holy name. Second, the gravity of misusing God's name. Question and answer 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. It undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. The gravity of misusing God's name. Moses' congregation said that thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and that thou shalt honor the face of the old man. You do that, boys and girls? To rise up to honor the old man who has the hoary head, the gray head. Then it speaks about more. It speaks about all those who are in a place given by God of authority. Where does that start? That starts right at in your house. Starts with your mother. Starts with your father. Do you honor them? Do you listen to them? Do you do what they tell you to do? That is where it begins, fathers and mothers. And that is your obligation. It is your duty. When your children are young, to make sure that your children learn such honor. It begins with yourself. That it may also be unto others in society that the Lord demands that we honor also when we become an adult. But if that is so, with certain men in this world, it is even more so with God. Before we, whom we read in the Bible that the very angels, the seraphim, do cover their faces and do cover their feet and do cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, O Lord God of hosts." This Lord's Day is about God's name. God has more than one name. And yet, all those names are one unity. His name is different than our names. You say, we need to have different names. Why? Because we need to refer we need to know to whom we are referring. Is that now the reason that God has a different name than our name? That is not so. But the very names of God are different from our names for another reason. Our names are but labels. Maybe some of our names describe who that we are. Like Abraham, that means father of a multitude. We think about Isaac, and that name means laughter. We think about Jacob, whose name means supplanter. And so the Lord, in his direction, has given unto his church names. God's names are not just labels or descriptions. God's names are manifestations of who he actually is. They are actually a manifestation of his identity. The Lord says, "I am that I am." That I am the self-existing one. That I am the unchangeable one. Thus God can never be separated from his names. They are manifestations. They are declarations of himself. So by those names, He is revealing unto men who that he is, what his attributes are. David says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Or he says, I will sing praise unto the Lord. Well, that is the same as to say, I will call upon the Lord. When I will call upon the name of the Lord, or the call upon the Lord, that is for God exactly the same thing. And thus, the names of God are also holy. They are set apart. They are sanctified. Why? Because God is holy. Because God is set apart. Because God is sanctified. Therefore, David says, holy and reverend is his name. Is that now evident also as we go about all our what we call worship in the midst of this world? Some of the Jews say that some of those names of God, like the name Jehovah, is so holy, that is so high, that we may not use it. That congregation is not true. And the Lord gives unto us, reveals unto us his names just for that purpose, that man would use them, and that man may know who that he is, only that those names need to be not misused, not abused. Thus, the abuse of God's name is much more serious than any abuse that we can have, that man would do unto our names. Sometimes we say, children, that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So then there is a difference, right? If someone just calls you a name, you say, well, that doesn't really hurt me. But then they are not abusing me. They are abusing my name. That is a name that belongs to me, yes, but it is not me. Now, how is that with the Lord? Because with the Lord, when we abuse the name of the Lord, then it is just the same as if we would abuse the Lord himself. Thus, the Lord has given a special commandment, the third commandment, that is guarding the use of his holy name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And by this, the Lord is commanding that that name and all the references and everything that belongs to that name, everything concerning the worship of him that is to be done in a reverent way. Thus, every commandment has degrees. We say there is a certain, some sin is not as serious as other sins. If we think about the commandment, thou shalt not kill, well, hatred also is part of that commandment. That is living in our heart. And that is sinful. But it is not the same as actual murder. That is going to the extent of that commandment. That is the highest degree of that commandment. What is now the highest degree of this commandment, that third commandment of the Lord? The highest degree of the transgression of this commandment is what is called perjury. Perjury. You say, what is perjury? Well, perjury, that is a deliberate, false, misleading testimony that is taken under oath. There are some people who say we may not use an oath at all. We hope to speak about that next time, if all is well, because this Lord's Day, this commandment is divided into two Lord's Days by our fathers. But an oath, what is that? Next Lord's Day, it is defined as a calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness of the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. Now, an oath is something that is formal. An oath is something that is typically taking place before a judge, before other persons who are witnesses. And it is expressly calling upon the name of God, purposely calling upon the name of God. An oath is sometimes even taken with the hand upon God's word. Thus, there is a very intentional calling upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord is a witness in this moment of everything that I am saying. And thus, if it is purposely calling upon God, then it is referring to all of the attributes of God. Who that God is, that is, that I acknowledge in this moment that God is omniscient, that he knows everything. I acknowledge in this moment that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere, and that God is also here. I acknowledge in this moment that God is just, and that God will punish me if I swear falsely, that he is true, that all sin must be punished, that he is full of power, that he is almighty, and that he is able to punish me. Everything of the attributes of God are now included in that oath in a knowing way when man is swearing such an oath before God. That's what is perjury. Perjury. That is, congregation, a daring undertaking. Knowing in myself, in my conscience, that I am lying. Knowing that I am misleading other persons. And at the same time, calling upon God that he will witness what I am doing and that he will punish me if I am lying. That is now the epitome. That is the furthest extent that we can go to take the name of God in vain. That is a brash act of unbelief, of hypocrisy, calling upon the name of God outwardly, using that name, and in my heart, not believing in his existence, in his omnipresence, in his omniscience, in his truth, in his justice, in his power. I don't believe it. But outwardly, I am with intention calling upon him. Perjury dares God. that is now what Jezebel did. When she set up a trial of Naboth, and she brought in false witnesses. She dared God. And everything under the blessing of her husband Ahab. That was now the sin of the Pharisees and the scribes. When they brought Christ before the Sanhedrin, and they set false witnesses against him. That congregation is what Christ suffered under. For the sake of his church, that is now the sin under which Christ opened not his mouth. Going as a sheep unto the slaughter. Under such a wickedness, under such a perjury, our fathers also speak about cursing. What is that? To curse. You say, children, that is to use bad words. No, sometimes it is called cursing, but that's not in and of itself. To curse someone is to call down judgments of God upon another person. That is to ask God to bring evil, to bring judgment upon my neighbor. So Shimei cursed David as David fled from Absalom, his son. Then he is calling upon God that God would punish David. That's a wicked thing. But it was harmless for David, not harmless for Shimei, because he had to pay for this. God knew his heart, but it was harmless for David. And why? Well, Solomon says, the curse causeless shall not come. It is the Lord who must bring that curse. It is the Lord who must fulfill it. And when there is no cause, then the Lord does not fulfill such curses. Oh, you say, I read some of them in the Bible. I read them even from the prophets of the Lord, Malachi. Didn't we read it just here together? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Then Malachi says, he is cursed. We read also about Elisha, and he cursed little children. You say, that was awful, wasn't it? He cursed them in the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and the Lord also slew those children, boys and girls. And why did he slay them? You know why he slew them? You say, oh, those poor parents, right? They were weeping for their children. Yeah, parents. We need to learn from this. Because so often, then it is what is happening at home that is placed before those children. Those children were not taught. They were not instructed in the reverence that they ought to have had for that servant of the Lord and his predecessor, Elijah. And now Elisha. And now those children are mocking. Go up, thou bald head, just like Elijah. Oh, what was happening in their homes. And when these parents were speaking in such a way about those holy offices, and then it was not those men in the first place, but it is now the worship of God. It had to do with the holy name of God. And that was that out of which those curses did come. Thus, these curses of the prophets are not there to be imitated by us. Because these men were guided, they were inspired also by God himself. And that had to do not just with those men as persons in themselves. You know that James and John said to Christ, "Shall we ask fire to come down from heaven and consume the Samaritans?" He says, "You do not know what spirit ye are of." We are so wicked, aren't we? And we so often have our own honor in the foreground and not actually the Lord's honor. Oh, how that pride of a man can so come in between and in such a subtly deceitful way, as if that it is now for the honor of the Lord. Oh, could it be always and in a pure way and for the honor of the Lord? And still, we may pray for the destruction of all of the enemies of the Lord. We read about the souls under the altar, that they are praying also that the Lord would destroy the enemies and deliver the persecuted church of God. Our fathers speak about rash swearing. What is that? That is, congregation, to use the name of the Lord for purposes of confirmation in matters that are not weighty enough. That is just matters of each and every day. What does the Lord say in his word? Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. And that we should not have to back that up, as it were, with imprecations. If we are always telling the truth, then our neighbor will know that. And he will trust our simple word, that when we have said no, then it means no. And when we say yes, then it means yes. Solomon says, a sinner sweareth. But he says, a righteous man feareth the oath. He's afraid to make an oath. Why? Because we have to use that holy name of God. So an oath is something that actually should be rarely used, only in necessary cases. We know that Saul swore rashly, even that his own son would be slain. "Thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." David swore rashly too, that he was going to slay all of Nabal's men. The Lord kept him from it. But that offense against ourselves, that is so quickly growing into something that we are speaking against other men. Sometimes people swear by heaven, or they swear by the earth. They are just substitutions, actually, of the name of God. And they are no different than this rash swearing. The third commandment is broken also by our unholy lives. That is, by the lives of the persons who make a confession. We confess the truth, and the world knows it. And how do we live? And then the world says, "That people, look at them. They have the truth. And they say they worship God." Do you know what the Lord said to David when he sinned? He says, "Thou hast given occasion that the name of the Lord will be blasphemed, David, because you are my child." Because You are a king over my people. And when you have done this, you have brought my name into disrepute. Ah, congregation, it really has to do with all irreverence. In everything that we do in that service and the worship of the Lord, whether that is at home, in a private way, or in a public way, that when that is in the way of prayer, or when that is in the way of praise. Let us sing first. 138, 1, 2, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 2, and 4 of 138.
Thank you.
and briefly that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. So hear our Father say what that commandment requires. That's the other side. God's name must not only not be abused, but God's name must also be used. And when it is used, then it must be rightly used. Our fathers say God is to be rightly confessed and worshipped by us. That means, in the first place, he must be confessed and worshipped by us, and then also rightly worshipped and confessed by us. Ah, do you do that? You say, maybe, how can I do it if I am unconverted? That's true. Because how can we have that right impression of him whom we approach to unless the Lord puts that in our heart? Because by nature, and then we can be somewhat tender in our character, that we are not harsh and that we are not bold, that we can come across in an outward way in humility and in reverence. That is all good. But now my heart, for my heart truly to bow and before that true and that living God, speaks about the fear, and the fear and reverence that is not slavish fear. No, that is godly fear, working a childlike reverence. What does a child do? He approaches. And when he approaches, he approaches with tender fear and with reverence, but also with trust. The prodigal son was a picture of this fear, this right confession and worship with fear and reverence. How is that a picture? You know what Satan says, congregation? He says, you're guilty. You're too guilty. He say that to you too. That you are too guilty. What will he do? He will have us to stay away. He will have us to stay away. Is that now not to take the name of the Lord in vain? To stay away because of our guilt? That young man, it was all guilt. He received it all from his father. He had wasted his substance with riotous living. But now, how may he greatly honor that name of his father? By running away. No, congregation. All that right fear of God and the right worship of that name of his Father, that is now to go toward him. That is to say that my Father, he is such a man as will receive me again. That is who he is. That is what his name is. And thus to rightly worship him. Oh, that guilty people, they can do nothing better than to in in humility return unto his footstool. All that is already in drawing near, that thy people do glorify and do magnify the name of God, as our fathers say, in all their words and also in their works. Oh, to draw near unto him in my guilt and in my sin, that is now to glorify his name. O congregation, fathers and mothers, how do you instruct your children? You remember how the tongue works, right? The tongue, your tongue. And what great things and that tongue does do. And now also with those, what the Lord has said unto his church in his holy word. What he promises unto parents in the instruction of their children. I'd like to ask you a question this afternoon. Do you do that in discouragement? When you speak to your children, be careful. Because do we then not take that name of the Lord, who is faithful to everything that he has spoken, in vain? When there is the least thought in our heart that the Lord would not fulfill it, as if all the attributes of God are not made sure, or making sure that promise that he has given, we may not be silent to our children about that name of the Lord, to fail to teach our children who he is, and to take the name of the Lord in vain. That is to make it a light matter what the Lord has said unto us in his word. To the wicked the Lord says, I am he that smiteth. Did the Lord ever smite you, fathers and mothers? Oh, maybe that is in an outward way. Maybe that is a smiting of your own soul. Do you know him as such? That you may speak to your children who that he is. What is his name? I am he that the Lord smote Judah. And then Jeremiah, he began to lament. What did he say? He says, the Lord is righteous because I have sinned against the Lord. Or do you know him as such? Or when the Lord instructs us in that way, then we say that is the Lord who smiteth. Then we know his name. We experience his name. Then we do not take that name of the Lord in vain. Then we speak to our children and we know of whom that we are speaking. And then the Lord said to Moses, he made his glory to pass by Moses. And he says, and then he revealed himself, he revealed his name. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in mercy and in truth. Oh, it is to be feared that the greatest transgression of this commandment is taking place within the visible church of God. who are instructed in that name of the Lord, but worship him in an outward way alone, without the weight of the name of the Lord bearing upon our hearts. Of course, that name is on the lips of many people in the world, millions of people, also of ministers, of whom we read in God's word, the Lord says, I am against them. Because he says, they make my people to err, he says, by their lightness. By their lightness. It's too light. You do not feel the weight of my name. When you take it upon your lips in prayer, when you take it upon your lips in the preaching, what did the bride say? She says, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Oh, she experienced his name. And then it had weight. Then she did not use that name of the Lord in any vain and in any light manner. Paul once persecuted that name. He says that he persecuted this name. And later on, Paul says, oh, you know what that became to him? He says, the name above every name. Ah, then we do not take that name anymore in vain. And then Ezekiel, he says, the Lord is jealous also of that holy name, because that name is himself. And then we have to go for a few moments yet to our last thought, the gravity, therefore, of misusing his name is then the profaning of God's name by the swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name, and therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Thus we are not guilty only, merely, when we use that name, when we abuse that name ourselves, but also our fathers say, when by silence or connivance are partakers of this sin in others. The congregation of the Lord put us in a society. In society. He put us in a family. He put us in a church. He put us in a country. He put us in a community. Thus, man is placed by God in a society. And then we have duties. They are not just duties concerning ourselves. But we have duties, we have obligations, the Lord says, concerning other persons that are around us. So the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Oh, how often do we not say with Cain, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? What did the Lord say? Yes, Cain. You are your brother's keeper, indeed. Oh, are then we not guilty of sin against our fellow man? By silence, partakers. That is, by doing nothing. That is by saying nothing. You say, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. That's right. That is our guilt. When we keep our mouth closed, that's what does the Lord say? We have an obligation. We have a duty to do what? He says to confess. To confess my name and to speak concerning my name. Preaching is never easy. It is especially not easy for a sinful man. Because you know what Paul says? He says, thou that teachest others, teachest thou not thyself? And so congregation, that is always coming back to us. And then you say, yeah, we go around. We are in the midst of this world. How guilty do we not make ourselves because we feared man more than God? And because we love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, how much does that burden us? When we hear the name of the Lord in our society taken in vain. It is true. There are times when we must not say anything. There are times when you say that is only going to make it worse. But let us be honest. Is that most of the time an excuse? Because we do not have in our heart the height of that name of God. And we are afraid that our own name will be brought into disrepute. Oh, how much rash swearing, how much cursing is not done in the bar. Go there, young people, to the bar. Don't belong there. Never. Don't belong there. Those are places where Satan dwells. And how much will you not hear in such a place when Satan makes men drunk of that name of God taken in vain? Oh, do you think there that you will have the strength to stand up and to defend that name of God? Then you do not realize how weak you are. How much of that name of God is not defamed and taken in vain in the videos, in all the movies that we can get on our phone? How much are we listening to them? Are we watching them? And are we hearing the abuse of that name of God? Can you do anything about it? Can you speak against it? Say, it's impossible. It's impossible. And thus, we become what? A partaker. A partaker. And therefore, those are things, young people, we can only warn you out of the love of our heart that we need to leave off. Do you know what the Lord says in His Word? John, he heard a voice from heaven. And it was God Himself that is speaking. He says, come out of her, my people. that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye be not, that you do not receive also of her plagues, if you will make yourself a partaker of her sins, then you will also receive of her plagues. No sin more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And that is apparent in the punishment that he has enjoined unto this sin. That is the punishment of death in the wilderness there. And you had that son of the Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian. There you have the start of it already, don't you? Who will you marry, young people? Who will you marry? Who will you bind yourself to? Will it be an Egyptian? This Israelitish woman married an Egyptian. And now they have a son. And in that son was no reverence for that name of the Lord. And now that man, he began to blaspheme. And he began to curse. And what does the Lord say? He needs to be stoned. He needs to die. Oh, how fearful is the end of that man who dies in such a way. Solomon says, as he loved cursing, so shall it come unto him. He is going to receive it. But then, Malachi, unto you that fear my name. Do you fear it? Unto you that fear my name, who stand in awe of my name, shall that Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, then their tongues just begin in this life to lead that true church of God, just like that man who was lying there by that gate, the temple gate, beautiful. And then the Lord healed him. And then we read, he was leaping and he was praising God. There it begins. Not in heaven, but it begins here below, in the deliverance of his own church. And soon, other people, they are going to now enter into those gates, those glorious gates, with great thanksgiving. And now that people, they are going to do what their heart in this world has begun to do, and which is the joy of their heart, that they may bless his name forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us reverence before thee. Give us to know thee, who that thou art. And give us true humility and the tender fear of thy most holy name. Bring us safely home. Give us saving impressions of thee. And help thou us in all the week that lies before us. Give us continually to meditate, that we have here no continuing city, and that we might seek one to come, and that thou may bring us also together in the day of prayer, prayer day, and that thou may give us what is necessary as leaders to go before in the reading and in the preaching, and that thou may be magnified in all our words and in our works. Forgive, take away all of our many sins. For for Jesus' sake. Amen. 318, 1, 2, 5, and 7. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to Thee. And I will enter them with praise, O Lord, my God, to Thee. 1, 2, 5, and 7 of 318. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.